and my sisters in Christ Jesus, greeting you from my lovely home base of Sri Lanka, the place where God has put me for a window of time, for a season. And you know, when God first brought me back to this country, it was during, I was en route during the middle of the tsunami when it happened here. I don't know if you guys remember that. December 26, 2004. I remember because I had just finished my master's on the 18th, and I was on the way over for the holiday season when everything happened. So there's always an element of God's timing for us when we're in step with Him, because if you're one step forward or two steps behind, then you're out of step where He wants you to be, and you miss that window of what He's trying to do with you. And so circumstances and situations such that I ended up back in this nation during that experience, the tsunami, the close of the Civil War, several other things that ended up happening here. But all the time, though there were some difficult times, difficult moments, stretching times, seeing God's hand in the reason that I was here, the reason that He put me here, and that which He had for me to do. Being sustained in this place, not by anything that man created, but by what God allowed to come into my hand and across my path that would allow me to be here. Because if the devil had his way, I would be completely choked off, have zero resource to work with, and be shown the door and allow this place to just continue on in whatever it is that the kingdom of darkness intends for this nation. But God sustains His people, and He provides for us and takes care of us in the assignments that He gives us. So you just, for me, I learned over that window, I mean, it's something that you know already, but it solidifies in your soul that God takes care of His own. He provides for His own. He watches over His own. Even in a very difficult and trying situation, He does that. And you know what's interesting for me now is, you know, after a lot of time and a lot of energy and several times wondering, do I leave this place, or God, do You still want me to be here? And Him making it clear that He still had more intended for me in this place during this window, and now just seeing how some of that is coming to fruition. You know, one man plants, another man waters. God does cause it to grow. Yeah, but there is times too where we're allowed to see the fruit of the labor that we put in and the investment that we do in accordance with what the Spirit of God will say to us to do. You know, too many times I think we don't give enough opportunity to see that. Because, you know, God, for me, if it was just a lifetime of hitting my head against the wall, and if that was what it was intended to do and to be, so be it, if that's what God intends. But I don't believe that that's what God intends with us in this day, in this age, in this time right now. No, I believe that God has for us to do things in accordance and in obedience to Him. And out of that obedience to Him, that there will be some success in what's believed to be the natural. You know, success in the natural is not an evil thing. It's not a bad thing. But what's necessary is for people to understand that success in the natural doesn't bring you any closer to God, nor does it make you any more special to Him. And I think that's why a lot of times, for our own benefit, He actually blocks natural worldly success, because He knows what that'll do to us when we're not in right step and right thinking in that area, because he knows that it would just, he would just be encouraging a mess, growing a monster that's in your spirit. So by God's grace and because of his love for us, I think a lot of times we don't get natural success. But I think when there's a certain principle understood, which is that obedience to God is success. Doing what the Spirit of God tells you is success. And if you and if I are just obeying, that in and of itself is enough. That in and of itself, obedience is better than sacrifice. Obedience is what God looks for. He looks for those that will walk in step with him, and through that walking in step with him, then let the consequences be what they are. That said, and there's a subtle line here that a lot of people cross over and try to spiritualize it, but you know, you can't. It's God knows. But that said, if and when people have that solidified in their soul, that, you know what, it's just doing what the Spirit of God tells me and obeying that, when that's done and that's resolved, okay, now you actually are in a lot better place to have some natural success, because if you do, you realize, look, it's that is inconsequential. But sure, good, great. I'm not losing sleep over it either way, whether it's good or bad or doesn't work out. But if you do have it, because it's not going to take you away from him. It's not going to pull you off track. It's not going to go to your head. And you realize how quickly, too, all that stuff can turn to nothing and to failure. I mean, the example of Nebuchadnezzar with Daniel is one that I think about off and on, where, you know, here's a guy far more powerful during his day and age than any world leader is today. Far more powerful, far more under his domain, his jurisdiction, his rule, but yet at the moment that he gets out of line and he missteps and he says, "Ah, well, you know what? My hand has done this. Look at all that I've built for myself. I'm the man." And as soon as he starts doing that, it says, and God even warned him in a dream 12 months earlier, and Daniel interpreted it. As soon as he starts doing that, it says in scriptures, before the very words finished leaving his lips, that the angel of God spoke to him and said, "All right, you know, now it's over. We got to put some perspective back into this thing." And he loses his mind. God just takes it from him. Because look, your the breath in your lungs, the consciousness that you have, the ability to even have conscious thought, these are gifts from God. You know, he doesn't owe that to anybody. He doesn't owe anybody the chance to breathe his breath, to exist in this reality. That's not owed to anyone. So, I mean, that's what's comical to me about atheists, is here they are, breathing the very breath that God has allowed to exist in them, so that they could exist in this reality, and yet their minds are twisted to the fact that they can't have a revelation and they can't see. I mean, that's why I think the scriptures just really only give a couple of verses, from what I've been able to see, in the whole Bible towards those guys, and basically says the fool says in his heart there is no God. That's about it. You know, there's really not much more to say about those guys. I mean, if you're too dense to understand that the breath that you're breathing, that you can't even control that next one. You cannot even control that next breath. Try. Okay, here, experiment, Mr. Atheist. Stop breathing for 3 minutes. See if you can hold your breath. Didn't think so. Uh-huh. Yeah, okay. And so now, and you tell me when you're going to stop. Yeah, okay, fine. So there's a lot of things in activation right now that allow you to exist in this dimension that, you know, you better count your blessings and you better bow your knee while you still have the chance, because there is a God that you want to be on right terms with when you leave this life. And tomorrow's not promised to you, so today is the day of salvation. Get right while you have the chance. Get right while you have the time. When you hear the quickening and the voice of the Spirit of God calling out to you, harden not your heart as in the rebellion, but turn. You know, he's calling to people. Even this day, he's calling to people. I believe there is, it's there for those that will turn and follow him. You know, he'll take care of you. He'll watch over you. He will lead and guide you in the ways and in the path of life. And you know, it is an abundant life. It really is. If you will trust him, if you will go with him, he will take you through a life that you could never plan for yourself. You know, I see so often, I see the worlders that, I mean, they're trying so desperately hard to have a life. You know, and I think that's one of the disservices, yeah, that maybe movies do, is that's the closest that people can get so often because of the boxes they've put themselves in or the things that they've painted themselves into. That's the closest that they can get to actually maybe potentially having a life is watching somebody else pretending to have a life. And those guys are slaves by and large as well. You know, they just get a few moments of play acting. You know, God's called his people to go with him. And you know, when you go with him, he will put you on an adventure. It really is. It is an adventure. And you know, in that adventure, you will be stretched, you will be tried, you will be tested, you will be pushed. But and God will orchestrate and allow for all of that for the purpose of burning out what's in you that is not of him. And if you keep going, if you keep trusting him, if you keep holding on to him amidst your lack of understanding about what to do, what's going on, how to get you just, but you still trust him. Though he slay you, yet will you trust him, yet will you go forward with him. If you hold on, he's going to take you through. And it's a good thing. It is a good thing. God is always in control, you know, but I think we do need to have those experiences where we do feel outnumbered, where we do feel outgunned, where we do question even our sanity and question even some of the things, the choices that we've made. But the key is when you even question that, just go back in your spirit and in your heart and say, all right, did I make this decision seeking to follow God, or was it of my own self-will? And you know. You know whether you chose that of yourself, or you know whether you chose that following him. If you've been following him and you know in your heart that this is the way that he's sending you, then don't worry. You know, it's you don't see the whole thing yet. And there's usually a bigger thing going on. If you've done that part that he has for you, there's usually something much bigger going on than what you could plan or expect. So, again, it's back to oneness with Christ and our lives being about him and not us. And really not, you know, not, don't overestimate your role in this whole thing either. You know, yes, we are important to God. Yes, you are beloved of him. That said, too, it's about him and not us. It's about His will and not ours. It's about His plan and purpose and not yours. So to be able to diminish yourself and your expectation, your life. You know, I mean, one thing is, be straight with God about your desires. Be straight with God about what's going on in you. If there's something that you would like, put it before Him. That's okay. You're allowed to have desires. But then, you know, follow that up with, Lord, not my will, but yours be done. I mean, Jesus didn't want to go to the cross. In the human side of Him did not want to go there. But He made Himself obedient, even obedient to the death on the cross. So even for Jesus, when He was in that situation, He said, Lord, you know, if it be possible, in the Garden of Gethsemane, Lord, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And that for us is the same thing. So if there's a desire you have, you can put it to Him like that. Lord, I'd like to go to South Africa. You know, but, you know, I want to be where You'd have me to be. So, Lord, Your will be done, not mine. Just show me where You want me to go. But, you know, I'd like to go there in my thinking, but that's just sort of where I am. And actually, I don't want to go to South Africa. I'm just using an object lesson. I'm just making a point. But hey, God wants me to go there, I'll go. But, you know, whatever it may be, put that before Him. But see, the point that people get in trouble is when they have a desire for themselves. And they want something. Now I want something. This is me. This is my. I. Me. Separate. I want whatever. And because they want that, and they haven't given that over to the Father, they refuse to let that go, whatever that desire may be. And now that thing comes in, and it starts to chew away at them. Now that thing comes in, and now that becomes a snare to their life and to their soul. So, and oh my gosh, how people spiritualize that. When there's something that they want, and they want to get that from God, and oh, now, okay, now it becomes all the Christianese gets broken out around those things. People naming and claiming and pulling out all kinds of verses, and it's sad. It's sad. Look, don't do that. Don't do that. You know, just I've seen several cases of this in this last week, where it's just like different places, different people, where it's just like basically somebody will have a desire for something, haven't turned that over to God, still holding on to it, still holding out for something. And the end product of that is hyper spiritualized carnal request. Hyper spiritualized carnal request. Hyper spiritualized worldly desire. Look, leave stuff before Him and just leave it. Let it go. Let it go. You know, see, we are slaves to the Master, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. We are slaves to the Master. And as a slave, we receive what the Master has for us. It's a good thing. Hey, you know, it's when you have that level of commitment, when you have that level of trust, when you have gone to that place where you don't fight Him against those things. You know, a slave does not have rights in and of himself. He belongs to somebody else. Somebody else chooses for him. So, and you have to hear the voice of your Master in all things. So, you know, there's freedom in that, though. There's peace in that. You know, there's a lot of choices in this life. I would not want to make them apart from God. In fact, I really don't want to make any choice apart from God. But, you know, there's key decisions and key choices that, whoa, hey, this is really, you don't want this stuff to, you don't want to try to make these decisions without Him. You don't want to try to make these decisions without Him leading and guiding the way. And, but people try. You know, I think it is those little things that people hold on to in their spirit, those little desires that they just won't let go of, that those really do snare them. Those really do become that stumbling block in their soul. And when those desires aren't fulfilled, the reason that they're not fulfilled is because those are their little idols. Those desires become the little idols inside their soul, and they've set them up right next to Jesus. And Jesus said, "You will have no other gods besides me." But they want that other God besides Him. And the byproduct of that is that that desire won't get fulfilled. It won't happen. Not gonna happen. Not with God involved. He won't, because what He wants is He wants you to lay that thing at His feet. And He wants you to be done with it. He wants for Himself to be everything to you. And from that, then the desires that He grants you, He grants you the desires of your heart. But He's got to be that primary. He's got to be all. But yeah, you know, it's just that need, I think, for so many people to still hold on to something, to still have that place, that something that they just don't want to let go of. And yeah, you know, you can't do this for anybody else. You really can't. It's a choice that people make, you know. And so, but try to avoid getting caught up into people's own spirituality around these things, because people will spiritualize their carnality. People will try to make a religious outline for whatever it is there's some people that they give me a headache. I can't, they're draining. That when people are in a spot like that, they're actually mentally and physically and spiritually draining to you, if you be a child of light and you're around them. You know, the other day, my sister was talking to this one lady, and she was talking something about, you know, trusting God for somebody to build a nice house next door, that they now could, that then they would turn around and sell to them for very cheap and move out of. Like, what? And what is that? What in the world are you talking about?
There's
just this spooky Christian thing running around is just, look, please. Please, please, please stop with this. You know, I think the churches, by and large, have, because they've gotten so ingrown, I think they've gotten spiritually inbred. And the brains aren't working right anymore. I mean, the kind of thinking that's going on, the kind of thought process that's going on, is insane. So, yeah, you know, okay, for the child of light, for the follower of truth, important. Don't get caught up in all of that. Don't get caught up in all of this nonsense. Because if you get caught up in all of this nonsense, what's going to end up happening to you is this stuff, it starts to infect you. It starts to, you know, scriptures talk about this. Bad company corrupts good character. Walk with the wise and you'll be wise yourself. I mean, it is essential that you don't get caught up in all of that. Because all of that stuff, what it ends up doing is it just ends up saturating a person if you're around that. And it comes to a point where now, what are you thinking? Because that thought process is not coming from you, but it's coming from that. It's like a virus. It's like a spiritual virus. I think that's one reason why God's got to separate his people from all of that to detox us. If you've grown up in or around the church. So, yes, alas, what to do? Well, what to do is you live the abundant life. You live the truth. And don't let them get you caught up in their thing. Seriously, you're supposed to be free. You and I are called to be free. So, until, you know, and those that see that freedom that you have in Christ, you know, they'll come along. You know, another continual warning, watch out for the gang stalkers. Watch out for the people that seek to prey on the life of Christ that's in you. One way that they show up, often, so often, time and again, is they show up with honey. They come to you very, very sweet, very, very nicely. They will look to you that way. And so that's going to be the way that these guys are ending up showing up on your doorstep, around your life. They'll be like, hey, you're such a, you know, and they start it with all the compliments. All, you know, actually, that does play on your ego if you have one. If you've got pride open in you, if you've got a spot where these guys can jump on, they will. And so they test you with that. And so if that ego is still there, if they can jump on that thing, they will. And once they get that inroads through that ego, because of all the compliments and because of all the nice, sweet words, now they're in, and as soon as they're in, they stick the knife in you, and then they start to twist. So, yeah, beware and be wary of that. Because, you know, a compliment or an insult for us should pretty much have the same effect. It's just, you're talking to a dead person, so it doesn't matter. We're already, the life that we lived in this world is already ended in Christ Jesus. The life that we now live is in Him, is hid in Him. So that's what I mean by that. We have nothing in and of ourselves anymore. We have no expectation, no anything in this world. So if you were to say to me, great job, or if you were to say you screwed up, either one, I mean, okay, sure, whatever. So, anyways. So, enjoy the life that you have in Christ. Be blessed. Love the King. Love truth. And, hey, smile, my brothers and sisters. God's got us, and He's taking care. And we're in a good way. We really are. So, don't worry about anything. He's in control. Just put it at His feet and keep walking. All right. Love you guys. God bless you. I'll catch up with you again soon. All right. Bye.